National Broadcasting Company now presents Just Plain Bill, the story of a man who might be living right next door to you. The real life story of people just like people we all know. Here's a wonderful way to get acquainted with our neighbors across the sea. Letters Abroad receives many thousands of letters from people all over the free world asking to be put in touch with correspondents in the United States. Letters Abroad is a volunteer group which was organized in 1952 as a part of the international program of the National Council of Women. Its purpose is to promote international understanding by means of letters. The people of the free world want to know what we think, and they want to tell us what they are thinking. They are interested in work, our holidays, and the events of our daily living. Letters Abroad receives requests for American correspondents from all ages and walks of life. Businessmen, housewives, farmers, teachers, and students. If you are over 15 years of age and want to write to someone in Europe, the Middle East, or the Far East, send your name in a stamped, self-addressed envelope together with the information, age, occupation, and interests that will make possible the selection of a suitable correspondent to Letters Abroad, 695 Park Avenue, New York 17, New York. And now, Just Plain Bill. Bill Davidson's conviction that Arlene Wilton, the lovely actress, is quite capable of murder, is now shared by Howard Russell, a powerful businessman who has joined forces with Bill to expose Arlene for what she is, a dangerous girl who spreads unhappiness wherever she goes. And Howard Russell has said to Bill,
"There's no question of it, Mr. Davidson. I'm sure now that Arlene murdered my wife as she tried to murder your daughter, Nancy."
"And for the same reason, Mr. Russell. She wanted you, just as she now wants my son-in-law, Carrie Donovan. And your wife stood in the way, just as my daughter Nancy stands between Arlene and Carrie."
"But who will believe it, Mr. Davidson? Who? Everyone thinks my wife committed suicide. So did I until just recently. How can we ever prove that Arlene is a murderess?"
And now, while Bill and Howard Russell are talking, we find an apprehensive Nancy sitting on the front steps, saying to herself,
"If only Carrie doesn't come home while Mr. Russell is still here with Daddy. If he does, there's no telling what will happen. I should be happy that Mr. Russell has come here to help us, but I'm frightened. Carrie is so prejudiced in Arlene's favor that Howard Russell's being here may bring everything to a head. And I'm afraid of that. I'm terribly afraid. All Carrie needs is one little push, and he may go over the edge. He may really come to believe that he loves Arlene. But here he is. Oh, dear, if I can just keep him out of the house. Hi, darling."
"Hello, Nancy."
"Hi. You're early, aren't you?"
"On the contrary, I'm late. I stopped by at the Hartville Hotel to see Arlene."
"Oh?"
"I thought it was only fair that she be warned that Howard Russell was coming here to make trouble for her."
"I see."
"I suppose you think I shouldn't have done that, since you're as prejudiced against her as your father is."
"What are you angry about, Carrie?"
"I'm not angry. But if you'd seen her face when I told her about Russell, it would have melted even you."
"You mean she's so afraid of him?"
"Why wouldn't she be afraid? She knows the man will spread the most vicious lies about her, that he'll tell everyone that she drove his wife to suicide, when the truth is that it was he who pursued Arlene until she nearly went out of her mind."
"Are you sure that's the truth?"
"Yes, I am. What's the matter with you, Nancy? What's happened to you, anyhow, that you can be so hard? You of all people."
"Well, what's happened to you, Carrie, that you can speak to me like that?"
"I'm sorry. But I'm telling you, if you could have seen her, you would have realized how desperately she needs a friend."
"I'm sure she has one in you."
"You're darn right she has. I told her she could count on me no matter what happened. That when this Russell character arrived in town, he'd get a welcome that he wasn't prepared for."
"Carrie, don't you think it's Peter Dyke Hampton's place to defend her, not yours?"
"What?
Why do you concern yourself with Arlene this way? It's Peter who loves her and is going to marry her.
And if you had your way, that marriage wouldn't come off.
Because I think she's only marrying Peter for his money.
And that's not worthy of you either. I'm going inside.
Oh, Carrie, wait.
Why?
Because I just thought of something. I want you to go to the store.
What for?
I need a loaf of bread.
But I brought you one this noon.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Well, I thought it would be nice if we had some ice cream for supper.
Well, let's drive downtown and get some after supper, Nancy. I'm awfully tired, and I'd like to get washed up.
I don't feel like driving anywhere this evening.
Well, then I'll go down and get it, and we can eat it on the porch.
No, I want it now.
Nancy, what is this all about?
Nothing. Just happened to want some ice cream for supper.
You don't want me to go into the house. Why?
Oh, that's a silly remark. Why wouldn't I want you to go in the house?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Carrie, please.
Oh, so that's it. Howard Russell's in there, isn't he? Howard Russell is in my house. Well, he's not going to be there long.
Meanwhile, in the living room, a tense Howard Russell is saying to Bill,
"It's amazing, isn't it, how clearly you can see things once your eyes are open? I was so dazzled by Arlene's beauty that for weeks I couldn't see what was going on. But now I know, just as if I'd been told, that she poisoned my wife. Just the way she tried to poison your daughter."
"But how, Mr. Russell? How did she do it? If we can once find that out, we'll have the proof we need against her."
"She must have used some sort of an instrument, Mr. Davidson, to inject the poison into their veins."
"But it must have been something that was used so casually that Nancy wasn't even aware that it was happening."
"That's the thing that gets me. How could she help but know it? How could my wife help but know it?"
"Well, there was a scratch on Nancy's hand, and later a small puncture. So somehow, Mr. Russell, couldn't Arlene have done it when she was shaking hands with him?"
"Well, of course she could. I told you we gave a party and Arlene was there. And naturally, she shook hands with my wife when she left."
"The same thing happened here, Mr. Russell. Nancy's first attack of poisoning happened one night after Arlene and Wally Cregan had been here for dinner."
"Then Arlene must carry the weapon concealed in her hand."
"A ring. Suppose she carried the poison in a ring. Does that seem possible to you?"
"More than possible. But how can we find out if she has such a ring?"
"Please, Carrie, please don't make trouble."
"I'm sorry, Nancy, but I won't have that man in my house."
"Well, that's my son-in-law, Mr. Russell. I'm afraid we are in for trouble."
"Bill?"
"Oh, yes, Carrie. Come in. I want you to meet Howard Russell. Now, this is my son-in-law, Carrie Donovan."
"How do you do, Carrie? I'm happy to meet you."
"Are you, Mr. Russell? I'm afraid I can't return the compliment. I'll have to ask you to leave my house."
"Oh, now, hold on, son. This is my house, too, you know, and Mr. Russell is my guest."
"Then you'll have to entertain him when I'm not around. I won't have this house used as a meeting place where you and this man can tear Arlene to pieces and plan to ruin her if you possibly can."
"That has a familiar ring."
"What do you mean?"
"I mean some of my friends at home tried to warn me against Arlene, but no, I knew better. I was furious on her behalf. I think that was the beginning of my infatuation for Arlene. The feeling that people were being unfair to her."
"Look, Mr. Russell. I've heard all about you. I know it was you who made the advances. Not Arlene, but you. Until your wife finally killed herself."
"She's really pumped you full of lies, hasn't she?"
"No. You're the liar. But I won't swallow your lies. Neither will Peter Dykhampton, who's going to marry her."
"Peter Dykhampton is a very rich man, isn't he? He'd be able to back her in a Broadway show."
"Suppose he would."
"That's what Arlene expected me to do. And she expected me to marry her after my wife's death."
"That's another lie. She wanted no part of you."
"Oh, yes, she did. But what she failed to realize was that my poor wife's death would shock me back to my senses. I sent her on her way."
"You sent her on her way."
"Yes, Carrie, and so should you, and quickly. Don't wait until it's too late, as I did."
"Get out of here. Get out before I throw you out."
"Oh, Carrie."
"I'm sorry, Bill, but I just won't listen to such talk. I'm Arlene's lawyer, Mr. Russell, as well as her friend. And I warn you, if you continue this defamation of character, I'll advise Arlene to take steps about it."
"I feel sorry for you, Carrie. You're behaving just the way I did."
Oh, I'm going.
You'd better. You'd better clear out of town, too.
Well, now, that I won't do. Not for a while, at least. I like your town of Hartville. I like your wife and your father-in-law. And under different circumstances, Carrie, I know I'd like you, too.
I'll take you to the door, Mr. Russell.
Thank you, Bill. If I may call you Bill.
You surely can. I want to apologize for Carrie's behavior.
Oh, you don't have to, Bill. I understand it only too well. That's what Arlene Wilton does to people. She transforms them into strangers that even their best friends don't recognize.
Mr. Russell.
Yes, Nancy. And don't you apologize for your husband either. As I told your father, I understand only too well. I once behaved just as badly as Carrie.
But what can we do? What will make him come to his senses? How can we ever make him see Arlene clearly?
Arlene herself will have to do it, Nancy. But we can help it along. I can help it along.
How?
Your father and I decided that the thing for us to do was to find how Arlene injected that cobra poison into you and your wife.
Your wife?
Yes, my wife. I'm sure now that my wife was murdered. We're going to find out how. I'm going back to the hotel and have a little talk with Arlene's manager, Wally Cregan.
So, Bill Davidson and Howard Russell are edging closer to the truth about Arlene Wilton. Closer to some proof that she is a murderess. And tomorrow we'll hear Bill say to Nancy,
"It's wonderful sometimes, awe-inspiring, the way justice finally overtakes a person. For a long time, Arlene has gotten away with, well, with murder. But it's all beginning to catch up with her now."
But, Daddy, you still can't say for sure that she tried to poison me. That she did succeed in killing Howard Russell's wife.
We can if we discover how she did it, Nancy. And I think between us, we've managed to hit on it.
Be sure to listen to Just Plain Bill at this same time tomorrow. Here's a word about exciting daytime listening. Beginning next Monday afternoon, that delightful favorite of yours, Hotel for Pets, returns to NBC. And once again, you'll be able to keep up with the warm-hearted and amusing escapades of Joseph J. Jolly and his Hotel for Pets. It's the afternoon program with a different theme that you enjoyed so much in the past. And now your enthusiastic response has brought it back. So be on hand next Monday and every Monday through Friday from then on for Hotel for Pets here on NBC. And don't forget, Hotel for Pets is just one of the big daytime shows that brighten your busy hours as you stay tuned to NBC. Other dramatic favorites are Right to Happiness, Woman in My House, Stella Dallas, Young Widow Brown, and many more. So why not make each weekday an interesting and exciting one with Hotel for Pets and the rest of NBC's bright Monday through Friday lineup. Today's episode of Just Plain Bill was brought to you by the National Broadcasting Company. Your announcer is Don Pardo. Be sure to listen for Just Plain Bill on this station at the same time tomorrow.
Listen to the Right to Happiness weekdays over most NBC radio stations.